Welcome to Houston Sports Talk with your host, Robert Land.
Thanks for checking into the best Houston sports podcast. Joining me is my co-host, Stephen Kerr, 65 plus years in sports journalism between the two of us. Stephen, we're just 8 days away from opening day and the Yankees at Minute Maid Park. I know you're ready, but are the Astros ready?
Yeah, that is the question, Robert. I think from an offensive standpoint, I feel pretty good about them being ready. It takes pitchers a little longer to round into form than the hitters. So under normal circumstances, you might wonder that. But given with what the Astros have been facing since spring training started, Robert, you have to wonder. But you know what? I mean, you look across the league, all across Major League Baseball since spring training has started, bunch of pitchers. I mean, almost every team seems to be hit, even the Yankees. I mean, they haven't escaped it either. So I guess you could ask that question about everybody in the major leagues. Is their pitching ready for whatever series that they're going to do to start the season?
Yeah, no doubt about that. Injuries, it just seems like throughout sports, it just seems to be the storyline throughout all of sports, NBA, NFL. Jose Urquidy out for a while. Add him to Verlander and, of course, McCullers and Garcia. We might have the best group of starting pitchers, Stephen, who can't play. Are you worried?
Yeah, no doubt. You could form an all-star team with just those guys and, you know, combine them with some of the other teams whose starters are out, and you'd have a pretty darn good all-star team, I'd say.
I'm scared because the guys that you have left, let's remember, Hunter Brown looked bad the second half of last year. Now, he was young, and we talked about it with Kenny Van Dorn a couple of weeks ago. You know, that was to be expected, but what do you really hope for with Hunter Brown? J.P. France was really good. We'll see how he bounces back. A rookie that had a ton of innings, you know, for a rookie last year going into the postseason. Let's see how he bounces back. And then, of course, boy, Christian Javier, still a little worried about Christian Javier after last year. And, you know, he lost the weight. Looks good, Stephen, on the mound. But does his pitching looks good? And then Fromber, you know, he's struggled a little bit. We're still, I mean, I hate worrying about spring training because guys are working on stuff and all the stuff you could pretty much throw away. But I guess because of what happened last year with those two guys, I'm worried.
You said it, Robert. I think the biggest problem is, you know, when we judge this sort of thing is we go off what happened last year and then put it in with spring training of what's going on now. And I think it's natural to do that because what else do you have to draw from? You had a great year last year. Well, maybe you'll come back and have a great year this year. Well, it doesn't always happen. You have a poor year last year. You want to bounce back the next year. The one thing I will say, getting to Hunter Brown, first of all, the one thing I'm encouraged about, Robert, is that Hunter is working on kind of reshaping his arsenal a little bit. Now, you might say, well, if he's having to tinker with it, how much is that going to affect him, especially at the start of the season? But I think he clearly needed to vary it a little bit more, maybe even add a pitch to continue to try to fool hitters better than he was toward the end of last year. Christian Javier, yeah, he lost the weight. He looks better, but he's still been kind of hot and cold in spring training. He had a rough start the other day, had a pretty good one before that. And Fromber. I mean, when are we ever going to stop wondering about Fromber Valdez? Because it always seems to be the case. So I'm going to try to take the high road, Robert, and just say that with all of these guys that struggled last year, especially in the second half of the season, and you throw J.P. France in there, you just have to think that most, if not all of them, you know, maybe not all of them, but most of these guys are going to bounce back and at least have decent to good years this year. The thing that worries me about France is that, yeah, he did have a little bit of a shoulder issue coming in. Is he going to be able to remain healthy through most of the season? And you can ask that about every pitcher, I guess. But, you know, with him starting off with a little bit of shoulder discomfort and throwing him off just a little bit, you have to kind of wonder that.
Yeah, and Dana is just a little too high on Ronel Blanco as some savior fifth guy in the rotation, maybe. I mean, I would be more comfortable, honestly, with Brandon Belak. And then Spencer Arrigetti, who I think has got real potential, maybe he could come to the rescue for a little bit and kind of keep things together until you get some of these guys back. Because, you know, hopefully the cavalry is coming in as the season goes on.
Well, you know, the thing with Belak, and of course with him, he doesn't have any options left. I mean, you either need to put him on the big club or have him move on. I just have never, yeah, he's definitely can do both starting and relieving. But his effectiveness in both situations has been very inconsistent. Ronel Blanco is just too much of a small sample size. He's looked great. He's probably looked better than almost any pitcher in spring training. But again, you know, how much stock can you put in that when the season starts and you got all the great players in there playing every day? Is that going to translate? Well, right now it's going to have to. And with Spencer Arrigetti, he probably needs a little more seasoning in AAA before they feel like he's going to be ready. So he's probably going to start the season there. But I do believe he will be brought up before too long, you know, maybe even in April, just depending on what's going on. So yeah, you do have some options, but there's nobody that you can say, oh, this guy's just going to come in and be the savior. You don't have that right now.
Yeah, and if you have forgotten for some reason, this is not the same middle relief core that the Astros have had in past years. So that's a concern. If these guys can't get you deep into games, basically outside of the big three at the back end of the bullpen, you don't have much. You don't even have Brian Abreu the first couple of games because that suspension. So, Steven, I mean, that's another part of this equation is who's going to get you from inning 4, 5, 6 into the eighth without, you know, some of these guys going that long into games.
Well, that is the concern, especially when, you know, you start the season, you're playing 20 games in 21 days. And I believe there's in the stretch there that it's 13 days straight. You're going to be putting a lot of pressure on those pitchers. And we know, Robert, that, you know, your first couple starts, you're going to be lucky if you go 4 or 5 innings to start the season. I mean, I know they stretch them out in spring training as much as you can, but that is a concern. I mean, the bullpen was very taxed last year because of the fact that a lot of the starters couldn't go past 5 innings. So, yeah, there are a lot of questions, but I don't know. I just have a good feeling that the Astros are going to overcome this, and especially if the offense can get it together and be consistent. You know, maybe Joe Espada's tinkering with the top of the lineup might actually be a help with the offense. And you might see some slugfests early on, you know, 8-6, 10-8. But hey, as long as you win the games, then you're not going to get too far behind in the standings. So you're just going to have to hope that they can inch you along until Verlander gets back. And we'll just have to see how the other guys do. And I don't always put a lot of hope in the season with Lance McCullers and Luis Garcia coming back and starting right away and how effective they're going to be. You know, everybody's looking forward to that. But, you know, you got to remember, these guys have been out for a while. They're going to have to round themselves back into game shape. So that's something to consider as well.
The Astros nearly signed a splash free agent. I want to get to that pretty quickly. But first, just want to remind everybody to subscribe and comment. And don't forget that now we've got an adrenaline hit for you, Houston Sports Talk junkies. We've added shorts into our YouTube channel. Look for 1 minute adrenaline hits of Houston Sports Talk. Some fun stuff from the library and also what we've done recently. So check that out.
Well, that's a good time of year for you to do that, Robert. You know, with spring and summer coming, people are going to get their shorts out. So, you know, that's a perfect timing for you, buddy.
I didn't even think about that. So what did you think of the potential Blake Snell signing? Steven, he ended up getting 2 years, $62 million from the Giants. What did you think about the Astros going after him and the Astros missing out?
Well, I didn't have a problem with them going after him. I mean, especially if you think about what all the stuff we just talked about. You'd love to have a guy like Blake Snell who could come in there and at least give your rotation a bit of a solid foundation, and then you get Verlander back. That's a game changer. Here's what I didn't like, and here's why I'm not all that upset that the Astros didn't end up landing him. I mean, yeah, the money was probably an issue. I think his market value was going to be somewhere in the low $20 million range per year. I didn't see Jim Crane going $30-31 million. But here's what I think the Astros balked at, Robert. I'm not so sure. The money may have been an issue, but I think the bigger issue was that Snell was wanting a player option after the first year. In other words, if he wanted to walk after this first year, he could. Yet you've got him, you know, locked into this other 2 year thing here. I think the Astros were not willing to do that. And I can't say I don't blame him, especially, you know, you're gonna pay him the Giants got him for $62 million over 2 years, which is 31 per year. And I think they structured it with some deferments and things like that. But that's basically what the Giants offered him, and that's what he accepted. So the biggest factor, I think, is that he got that option after the first year where he could walk. But yeah, you look down the rotation, as we've discussed, well, sure, you'd want Blake Snell to come in there and at least, you know, provide you some solidness there. I don't think he's had a couple of good seasons. He's a two-time Cy Young Award winner, so he's no slouch. But is he Roger Clemens great in his prime? Is he Nolan Ryan great in his prime?
He doesn't give you innings either, and you need some.
And he doesn't give you innings either. That's exactly right. That was the other thing, is he doesn't go any deeper than a lot of the starters you have now. So while I'm a little disappointed, I'm not really that upset, especially at the way things worked out, that they didn't get him.
Is this a big deal to you? So Josh Hader, because you signed him, you forfeited, from what I understand, your second and your fourth highest draft picks in the upcoming MLB draft at 63 and 135 overall. Also, $1 million in their international signing bonus pool. That might not sound like a big deal, but the Astros farm system, we know, is kind of in shambles right now after the last few years. And if the Astros signed Snell, Steven, they must also forfeit their third and their sixth highest picks, number 102 and 193. And this is a team with supposedly one of the worst farm systems, but we know that hasn't exactly been correct. But that's four of your top six picks, I guess, in the next year's draft?
Yeah, that is correct. And the reason, for those who don't know, the reason that's happening is because both with Hader and Snell, they were given qualifying offers by their team. So in other words, if you got a qualifying offer and another team ends up signing them, it costs them compensation in the way of draft picks and the international pool. You know, let's not discount that at all because, yeah, as you said, the farm system is thin. And don't forget, you know, you lost all those draft picks for those 2 years that the Astros were penalized for the cheating scandal. So it really leaves you thin. So, yeah, if you'd have signed Snell, you would have lost another draft pick, even more money with the international pool. So that's something to consider, too, if you're looking at the big picture instead of just the bare details of how things could have played out right now.
Yeah, and well, you were talking about two picks. And if Snell's walking after a year, like you said, that's another reason why you wanted to at least have him for a couple of years.
Yeah,
like
absolutely. You know, a two, even a three-year deal, I wouldn't have balked at that either. But that one-year option, if I were Jim Crane, I definitely would have balked at that.
Yeah, you all already gave up two of your best prospects for Verlander for 2 years.
Yeah, that's the thing you have to keep in mind with this free agency. It's not clear cut with all of these players, especially if they get made qualifying offers by their original teams.
The other guy that was out there, Jordan Montgomery, and who's still available, but Jim Bowden reported, just as you and I are recording this, that the Astros don't plan on pivoting to Jordan Montgomery. I can't believe that guy's still out there. I mean, he was incredible last year.
Well, he was against the Astros for sure. You know, just ask them. You know, I think he won both of his starts in the World Series. But, you know, the funny thing, Robert, about Jordan Montgomery is the lack of information that we're hearing about what's going to happen with him. I mean, you know, like Blake Snell, he went through the entire offseason, but I haven't heard any kind of a number attached to him, much less anybody talking to him about possibly signing him. Even right now, you know, with the Blake Snell talk, I'm seeing nothing. I know you and I looked on Twitter or X or, you know, different places before we started recording this. And yeah, it's a mystery. Now, he's had, you know, some injury issues off and on. And I think he's probably going to command the type of numbers financial wise that Blake Snell was. So if I'm the Astros, you know, again, I'm going to be cautious about that sort of thing. Yeah, you need to solidify your rotation, but you don't want to do some kind of a desperate move in order to do that. And Jordan Montgomery may require the same type of thing. It'll be interesting to see, now that Blake Snell is signed, what's going to happen with Jordan Montgomery moving forward.
Yeah, and he really took off when he went to Texas. If you remember, I mean, he was all right in St. Louis, 3.42 ERA before the trade. But afterwards, 2.79 was unbelievable in the playoffs. And you look at his career, he's been pretty darn solid the last, you know, few years. He had a 5.11 with the Yankees back in 2020, but I don't even count that because that was the pandemic season.
Right.
So really, if you look at since the pandemic season, I mean, he's really good. He's a lefty starter. He's a proven postseason guy now. Scott Boras, it's a little shaky what's going on with Boras because Blake Snell, to me, you know, getting in this sort of jam with Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery. And remember, Carlos Correa thought he was going to get a lot more. And maybe it's working out a little bit for Correa, but you know, I remember, wasn't that a Boras guy as well, Stephen?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that, all the stuff that went on with Correa between the Twins and the Giants and the Mets, weren't they in on him too? And then that fell through. So,
yeah,
you know, Scott Boras, you remember back in 2004, the whole Carlos Beltran thing, he was a Scott Boras client and the Astros missed out on him. And
well, that worked out well for
money. Yeah, it did work out well for the Astros, but
worked out for
Carlos Beltran. But that's what I'm saying. You know, Boras was in his heyday then. But now, you know, the landscape's becoming a bit different, even for agents like Scott Boras. So, but at the end of the day, Robert, he's still going to come away with a pretty darn good, you know, package with all of these players he's signing. He could retire right now and he'd never be hurting.
Well, I mean, I'm not worried about Boras. I'm not worried about these guys. They're going to, you know, they're going to should be able to live fine. But, you know, they could lose a ton of money because I'm guessing they wanted multi-year deals guaranteed and not just, hey, let's do 2 years and an option and all, you know, all that stuff.
Oh, sure. They wanted that. And, you know, but as it's getting late in the offseason, now you got spring training going on, these guys want to go to work. And so you take what you get now and then try again. But yeah, and of course, now you've got Bregman and Tucker to think about and how that is going to affect everything with the Blake Snell or, you know, the lack thereof. So now you got to wonder what's going on with these guys because we keep hearing, oh, we're gonna make them an offer. We're going to do this, going to do that. But I'm hearing crickets. Robert, what about you?
Yeah, that's the way it goes these days in baseball. A lot of this stuff, it used to not be like this, but now it's like guys are going into March and they don't have contract. Really good players.
Yeah, we're talking big names here, not just the, you know, bargain basement guys that end up latching on at the time spring training starts. These are big names we're talking about.
Yeah, it's not Jake Odorizzi we're talking about.
No, and definitely not.
By the way, he's still available, right? He's out there?
Well, I guess he's out there. I know, you know, he was with the Rangers last year, but he got injured. So yeah, he's still out there. I don't think I'd take my chances with him a second time if I were the Astros. Certainly not.
I just saw, I think he signed a minor league contract with the Rays.
Okay, maybe he did. Yeah. Well, like I said, he's having to bounce back from some injuries, so it's going to be a bit of a road back for him.
Let's go back to the Astros for a second because, you know, the Cougars are playing this weekend, and Joe Espada has not forgot about Kelvin. I guess they have a relationship because he texted Kelvin Sampson, good luck.
Well, I hope that's not a jinx. I mean, I hope it's a good luck charm for him that, you know, the Cougars end up going deep into the tournament and winning the championship again. But, you know, it's always nice to see how the local teams support each other. I know, you know, some of the Rockets players were at some of the Texans games and vice versa this past year, you know, with the success both those teams have had. So, you know, it's a class move when you can do that sort of thing and support your other local teams. So I think that's great. Now, you know, what kind of, whether they're friends or whatever, I don't know. You know, they've both been in the area for a few years. So, you know, maybe they do have some kind of a professional relationship.
I guess the last thing I'll bring up is, you know, you always look for the guys in spring training that, hey, does this guy have something? Is there a guy that sort of jumps out as one of the young guys? And got to give it to Joey Loperfido. We've talked about him with Kenny Van Dorn with Astros Future a couple weeks ago. Man, he's having a good spring. And also, he's a good cook. He cooked for the guys too.
Yeah, I was going to say, Robert, I'm going to have to cut this short because I've been invited to West Palm Beach to another meal that Joey is going to prepare, and they want me to sample it. So I'm going to have to run. We can just call him Joey Cooks. In fact, I think that's his Instagram handle, right? Joe Cooks. I think it's Joe Cooks. Loperfido's name, it keeps coming up. He's one of those guys that, you know, you keep thinking, oh, he's going to have a little more seasoning. Oh, he's probably not going to make the roster. Well, he may not make it at this cut, but if he very well may because of the way he's been playing. And let's not forget, Greg Kessinger had a little bit of a hamstring strain. So that knocks him out, at least for, you know, temporarily. That could pave the way for a Joey Loperfido, who, you know, I know he's an outfielder, but he's played some infield positions too, off and on. That could pave the way for him to make the roster, even if they weren't planning for him to initially. But you're going to keep hearing that name because the guy just brings it. He's got some power. He's a left-handed bat. He can play multiple positions. You're going to see Joey Loperfido very soon, I think.
The only seasoning that he doesn't need right now is for his paella because he looks like he's ready. That's what I'm saying.
Well, if you get a 10 out of 10 from a guy like Jose Altuve, no, you don't need to change a darn thing, Joey. Just keep cooking the way you're cooking.
All right, we're going to talk some Cougs in a couple of days. They will beat Longwood. I'm going to make that really out there on a limb prediction, and me and Steve are going to be back for a live post game on Sunday. Cougs against either Nebraska or Texas A&M. That would kind of be fun.
You know, that'd be interesting. And I'm scared of Nebraska, but I think I'd be scared more of Texas A&M just because you saw how they did when they played them the first time earlier this year. They almost beat the Cougars. I mean, it took a bit of a flurry for the Cougars to finally put them away. They are a pesky team. You know, they've had some struggles, but, you know, they beat Kentucky a couple of times and beaten some other good teams, you know, and then, yeah, they've stubbed their toe against some others. So A&M is one of those puzzles. You don't know which team is going to show up. And with it being the NCAA tournament, there's no telling what will happen. So that's going to be an intriguing matchup to keep an eye on, whether it's Nebraska or Texas A&M. You know, Longwood, gosh, stranger things have happened. It would just be, I don't think you and I would be in any condition to do a postgame show on Friday night if the Cougars lose to Longwood, Robert. I think we would have to wait a day or two just because of all the sulking we're going to do and the anger, you know, the tears. So either way, we might have to wait on this one. I don't. You know, who knew about Longwood? They're in Farmersville, Virginia. That's about all I know of them.
Didn't a 16-1 just last year?
They did. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It is not out of the realm of possibility. And let's not forget, you know, the biggest thing that worries me about the Cougars, Robert, is with the injuries they have, the lack of depth, especially as you get deeper into the tournament and you play more and more games. You know, we saw with Iowa State, I know, you know, Juwan Roberts didn't play. That was a decision. That was a coaching decision there. But I think it can catch up with you, especially in the NCAA tournament. So that is my biggest fear with the Cougs, is just all the injuries they've had. And the shooting is so hot and cold that you just have to wonder. But gosh, it would be terrible, terrible if they knocked out in the first round with a team like Longwood.
Yeah, hopefully they can just take out some key guys with about 10 minutes left in that game. And it's a blowout like we've seen the Cougs do so many times.
That would be ideal. That would be ideal. But yeah, we'll be here Sunday after the game. If they get that far, and depending on who they play, we'll be here for that.
Yeah, Cooper Klein's going to talk Rockets with me in our next show, so keep an eye out for that one too. But good talking Astros with you, Steven. It's real next week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait, Robert. This is my favorite time of year, so let's go Stros.
You're listening to Houston Sports Talk.
Hey, don't forget to support us by subscribing and commenting on YouTube. You can always listen to us on Spotify, Apple, or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends about us and share our show links on social media. Spread the word, everybody. Thanks for listening.